Welcome to College Street. We're glad to have you with us this morning. I see the cold brought us all in. Just wanted to remind y'all of a few things. Today, our youth are having a fundraiser for summer salt camp. And if the cold's getting to you like it's getting to me, you're going to want some soup today. So be sure there's plenty. Even if you weren't able to sign up, there's plenty of soup. So just after service today, just meet us down in the gym. And we will welcome your presence. We have some youth here today that are excited about going to camp and excited about meeting you and serving you. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great day. Also, we have just a few more things coming up. The Beaver Dam Baptist Association Men's Ministry meeting is coming up at Pleasant Ridge Tuesday at 6 p.m. Also, as a note, we have some people that are going to be transitioning out of Good News Club at the end of this semester, and this is a ministry that we've been doing at Wahala Elementary for the past 14 and a half years. Wow. But we would love to get you involved. Even now, we would love to get you involved. And if you're interested in being involved, it's every Tuesday from September to December, then January to March. We would love to get you involved. All you need is a background check, and we'll be rolling. We would love to have you involved at Good News Club. So if you have any questions about that, please see me or see Don Vickers. All of our activities will resume as scheduled tonight. Children, don't forget, tonight at Mark Club is pajama night. It's going to be great. Let's get ready to worship together. Thank you.
Scripture says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or wicked, or stands in the way, meaning that they linger there among the sinners. But they take their seat, and they do not take their seat among the mockers or the scornful, but they delight themselves in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. And that person is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which yield fruit in its season. Today is Baptist Men's Day, and I've asked two men that I feel are very representative of this passage of Scripture. They are men who meditate on the law of God's Word, and they lean upon it every day of their lives, I believe, and I've seen and know them. So as the time comes, they will, in the bulletin, they will each come and share what God's put on their heart and their mind. So you be praying for them. I asked them both earlier, are you ready? And both of them said, no. And I said, well, just look out amongst the people and you'll see a bunch of friends and you'll know in your heart. So be praying for them. Guys, if you'll come forward, we have a few guests with us today. If you don't mind as a guest to take a card, fill it out, place it in the offering plate. Let's have a record of your presence. Keep the pen as a memento. If you'd like to know more about the church, there's a prayer sheet here. You can tell us about that or you can put it on that card itself. Let's stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
Ken asked me to give my testimony today, and I jokingly I said, well, how much time do I have? And because God has really blessed me in my life. What I want to do is I'm going to try to help us today, and I want you to be thinking about these two questions. Who are you, and why are you here? And just a little bit kind of to personalize this about who am I? I grew up, I've been in church my whole life. But in the first 7 years of my life, I went to a church that really didn't teach you about Jesus. We had church, and, you know, we heard the Bible stories, but I really wasn't taught how to the importance of Jesus in your life and Him being your Savior. And then at the age of 7, I went to Vacation Bible School at Oakwood Baptist Church in Lexington, South Carolina. And that week, my heart was changed, and I accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 7. And about the same time, we had a cousin that invited my family to attend Red Bank Baptist Church in Red Bank, South Carolina. And my mother had accepted Christ at a young age, but my father had not accepted Christ, and my sister at that point in time. So. But to make a long story short, the pastor came to the house, and my father accepted Christ, my sister accepted Christ, and then I went through my acceptance of Christ as my Savior with him. My mother rededicated her life, and we all got baptized together one Sunday morning. And that was real a blessing. So to tell you a little bit more about myself, I started playing football when I was 5 years old. I made All-Stars or All-Conference, depending upon the age group, every year I played. And so basically for 12 years, I played football until I was 17 years old. Football was very important to me. You can't tell it now, but I used to work out 6 days a week. Whenever I was a senior in high school, I weighed 260 pounds, had 7% body fat, had a 32-inch waist, and a 50-inch chest. And I was a big guy. I was recruited by Division I schools across the United States, and everything looked great for my football career. And then we were playing. I had my scholarships playing center, but I also played defensive guard. We were playing a team, and I was having one of my best games that I had ever had on defense in high school. I had 10 sacks in the first half. Going into the end of the third quarter, I came up, I went to sack the quarterback again. Two of the running backs had told me the previous play, said, "We're going to put you out of the game." I just thought it was talking trash. Well, they speared me in the back the very next play, and I broke my back. I snapped the vertebrae in four different places. And that was, to make a long story short, obviously that was the end of my football career. I went to see the doctor. I was still walking. I actually practiced. Pain was just normal. You get sore. I actually practiced and went and saw the doctor on We had a Thursday night game. Saw the doctor that morning. And Thursday morning that week, and my life was changed. And I ended up having to have back surgery, had some rods put in. And I asked myself, what is next? What is next? And I realized at that point in time that what was next was what I should have been focusing on the whole time. And that was my relationship with God. So God helped me through that. I went to college. I was involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, but I really focused on my academics. I was wanting to go to med school. And so it's very competitive to get into PT school. So I finished that and had a successful college career. And then married Patricia in May 29th of 1993. And 4 months later, lifting, I snapped the rods again. So I've broken my back three other times since the initial football from lifting weights, lifting things or people. God has been my strength. And the verse that Miss Nancy Ruth, back in 1987, Miss Nancy Ruth was one of our youth leaders. And she sent me a card. She brought me a card, excuse me. And it had Romans 8:28 on it, is what she had told me to read and focus on. And Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." Now, I've had to focus on that several times. You've heard others say that that's what their life verse is. That's my life verse. That's one of them. Because I have to focus on God providing my strength. In times when I go through trials, I'm going through a trial right now. You know, this past June, I was doing what I love to do, physical therapy, helping a patient, and I snapped a rod in my back. So, I had surgery in August, and November, my surgeon tells me, he says, "Scott, I was asking him about the future and everything, what it looks like." And he tells me, he says, no, it was October. He tells me, "You know, I'm not sure if it's going to be wise for you to have hands-on care as a physical therapist, something I've been loved doing for 26 years. So God's got a plan. I'm not sure completely what it is yet, but he's there. And I want to help us I want us to focus on why we are here. You know a little bit about me now. And one thing that God has taught me is to stop focusing on me and focus on Him. You know, we as a church body have got to focus on love. And I've not asked these individuals to stand, but I've got something that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart. So, you know what? I don't see him. Hey, Derek, Dustin, can you stand up, please? Okay, you. Yeah, you're right, Dustin Gravely. Okay, I didn't see Emily back there, but she's in the kitchen, okay. Dustin's going to represent Beckett, a young baby that we have in the nursery, okay? Okay, now I want Isaac, can you stand up, McCord? Okay. How about, someone else about his age. How about your sister? Will she stand up? One of the younger ones? Okay. Okay. Knox, stand up, Knox, please. Okay, you can sit down. Knox, stand up for me, please. Okay. Andrew, stand up, please. Carrington. Josue. They know where I'm going. They're shaking their head no. Okay, Warren, you get to stand up. Okay. Now, Lauren, Leslie. Okay. Leanne. Okay, you can see where I'm going with this. You know, we have all these people in the church, different age groups, people in the crowd. And you can sit down now. You got people in the crowd, and the Bible calls us to love each other as He loved us. God's love means we must be willing to lay down our life for our fellow brother and sister. God tells us in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know that love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So we as a body of Christ, and Lanny, I meant to have you stand up to represent the apartment ministry. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives and reach those who are just right next to us or who may be down the road in another country. You know, that's something that I think we as a body of Christ can do better. A body of Christ called College Street. You know, God's calling us to reach our community. He's put us here for a purpose. And we as a body of Christ have got to be willing to lay down our life figuratively. And if he calls us to do it literally, then literally. But we've got, as a body of Christ, have got to be willing to make the necessary changes that need to occur. Part of revitalization, part of replanting that you have heard about, to reach the people in this community. There's a song that it said "Nobody But Jesus" by Casting Crowns that talks about that. We're nobody without Jesus, and we're to reach somebody for him. So my challenge to us as a body of Christ at College Street is to be willing to lay down our life to reach somebody for Christ. It may be in the apartment ministry. It may be here with different ministries that the church allows us to be in. But one thing that I would like to challenge you is that in the bulletin you have this piece of paper. It says prayer requests and concerns on it. I would like to challenge us as the body of Christ at College Street to take this piece of paper, and at a time when the invitation is given later today, if you are willing as a family or as an individual, depending upon who's here, to write your name on this piece of paper and say and pray for me, you know, it's a prayer card, write your name on that piece of paper and say, I'm willing to do what God calls me to do, to join him. You're willing to do, to be available and to listen to him. And this goes for the 6-year-olds all the way to the 100-year-olds. Because God wants us to do that. We're always can be used by him. Write your name on here, and during the invitation, bring it up and put it in like on this chair somewhere. Just to represent that you're committing to him to do this.
Thank you, Scott. Let's continue to worship our great God. Our hymn of praise is 231. Come, Christians, join to sing. May we stand together as we sing. stay standing if you would.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Creator God, Almighty, worthy of praise and honor. We come into your presence together because in Christ and through the Holy Spirit we are one. Thank you, Father, that you see Jesus and not us. Thank you, Father, that you know us and still love us. Thank you, Father, that you lavish your grace upon us and pour out your blessings upon us day by day. More than we understand, more than we need. And you desire the best for us. And you have given us the best. So, Father, take our gifts. Help us, Father, to lavish our praise upon you with how we live our days, give our lives, and pour out our offerings and tithes to you. Take them, Father, as you did the loaves and the fish. Bless them, multiply them, not for us, but that the community we serve will be filled. And they will know it's from you. Father, we thank you. Even in the midst of hard times, we thank you. Even in the midst of wonderful times, we praise you. And we seek your face. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. I hadn't talked to Scott at all about any of this, but I think you're going to hear a lot of similarities in what we have to say. So that's probably something God's wanting you to hear. So, when I was asked to give my testimony, I first said, you know, I'm not going to be here. I was going to be away from work. And I was kind of glad of that at that time. God changed my path. Didn't have to go away. And I'm glad of that. Allowed me to be here this morning. I still didn't want to give my testimony because I don't like getting up talking in front of a lot of people. But I have a lot to be thankful for. And I think we ought to share that more often with each other. Maybe in a little smaller groups, but we ought to share that. I've said this before. I know there's a lot of school teachers and educators and real educated people in this room. I'm a country boy from Walhalla, South Carolina, born and raised, so don't get caught up on critiquing my grammar. I want you to hear what's coming from my heart. Don't worry about the way I put my words together. Just hear what's coming from my heart. Laura gets on to me all the time about the way I talk. Testimony is something that builds daily. Tomorrow, it'll be amended by today. Whatever happens today, we can look back on and say, God, thank you for what you did yesterday. It's just an ongoing thing if you trust in God and trust him to guide your steps. And he certainly builds on mine every day. It's hard to put better than a half a century into a few minutes of testimony, but I'm just going to kind of scratch the surface of it off and just give you just a quick rundown. And then again, maybe make a challenge to the church. When I was just a little bitty boy, my family went through went from just a normal, everyday American family to, in one afternoon, just being shattered. Just torn apart. I won't go into the details of that, what happened, the event of that day, because that's a whole story in itself. And it's not the events or the tragedies or the adversities in our life that become our testimony. It's what gets us through them, what gets us through the hard times. For me, it was grace, amazing grace, our song. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. My family began a journey that day of learning to trust and believe in God's grace that he provides in many different ways. The Bible mentions grace 171 times in the King James Version. I've studied a lot in the last few weeks about grace, just what it means and how it's provided. Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Christ gives us grace as we need it and in the way we need it. My first encounter with grace came in a sweet little woman. My grandma, she knew exactly what she was, well, God knew what he was doing when he placed her here on this earth in 1897, and he gave her the name Grace. That was her name. She was good at giving grace. Little hair bun, apron, and a hug, it would just smother you. She would love you to death. She provided grace. And she did her very best to teach the four of us. She gave the four of us grace and my family grace. And she taught us, or tried to teach us, the importance of giving it. Now, that's a little harder one to get your hands around. It's easy to take it, but it's hard to give it sometimes. But it is required of us to give grace. My second experience with grace was God's redeeming grace. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Similarity. At 7 years old, little country church, other side of Walhalla, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I was baptized later that year, and I became a part of that church. Love being a part of the church. Love my Sunday school. Love Bible school. The things we did together. Some of those people are still my very dear friends. The kids that I went to school with, even the older people are just really still my family. Love being a part of church. Wouldn't have really mattered if I loved it or not. I was going to be a part of it, but I did love being a part of it. And then something happened. I became a teenager. I don't know what it is about being a teenager. Somehow in 13, 14 years, you get to be really smart. You get to know what's better for you than other people know what's better for you. So that happened to me too. It happens to all people, maybe not on different levels, but it happens to all of us. I began to focus more on me being in the center than Christ being in the center, and I began to drift. A little later in my teenage years, my life circumstances changed again, and the option to go to church was there for me to make. Do you want to go or not? I continued to go, but slowly, things would come up, you know, the fish are biting, I'm going fishing today, or my buddies are doing this, I'd go do this. So I slowly kind of started missing church. It wasn't as big a part. I was the center. And then one day I was at church and one of these ugly church things happened, and it just put a bitter taste in my mouth. And as a young adult, I walked away. I just walked away from church completely. Didn't lose my salvation. Didn't lose my relationship with the Lord. I still prayed every day. I still read my Bible. But I wasn't living in His will. I was in the center. I didn't have a church family, which is very important. A church family is a very important part of being a Christian and our walk with Christ. I knew something was missing. All those years, I knew something was missing. And it just, there was an emptiness in my heart. I just couldn't explain. Had a good job, made good money, had good friends. Everything was going my way. But there was a hole. And I couldn't explain what was going on there. Till one day in October of 1997, I was walking around a park in Rock Hill. I was working up there, and I'd go there in the evening, just kind of walk around that park, kill a little time before time to go to supper, dinner, whatever you want to call it, the evening meal. To me, it's supper. And I began to pray, walking around that park, and just say, God, there's something missing. I can't explain it. There's just something missing in my life. Something's out of place. And He said, yep, they are. It's me. I need to be in the center. Let me and you swap places. Let me in the center. You get out here and let your life revolve around me instead of trying to do it in reverse, and I'll fix things for you. So that day, there in that park, I started praying, just weeping. Said, God, I want to submit my life to you, my will to you, and you take my life and run it how you see fit. I'm giving you back control. And just like the prodigal son, He provided grace. He took His place back in the center of my life, and He changed everything that day. My job changed. I didn't have to travel anymore. I came home, was able to come home, got back into church family, became very involved in church, and in 2000 became part of this church. So He did an amazing thing there just by putting Him back where He needed to be, back in the center. I think we've talked a lot about revitalization, about renewal, about revival, whatever you want to call it, whatever word you want to use it. We know that there's something missing. We know that something's out of place. And I believe in our churches and in our society, it's Christ. I believe somehow in our busyness and our hustle and bustle, we've just kind of squeezed Him out of the center. And we try to be the center of things. We try to, we get caught up in the logistics. I mean, we've just lost our enthusiasm about being Christians. And we need to have that enthusiasm, especially for our young folks. They need to see something in us that they don't see anywhere else. An excitement. There needs to be excitement. I know we're Baptist, but God's no will get mad if you jump up and run over a pew or raise your hands and say amen or sing out loud off key. He don't care as long as you are praising him and there's an enthusiasm in your heart for him. I'm going to make a comparison, and it's not to slam anybody or say anything. It's me too. I'm making a comparison for me. Football season just ended. And I've noticed in the last 4 or 5 years that the sea of orange has grown tremendously. There's more football, more Clemson football fans now than I've ever seen. And they're not hard, you can spot them anywhere. They got the flags on their cars and they got their shirts and their hats, emblems, earrings. You know they're Clemson, tails hanging out their trunk. You know a Clemson fan, you can spot them. We need to be that way with our Christian walk, with our church. Amen, can you imagine how different our world would be if we showed up out here 4 or 5 hours early on Sunday morning, set up some tents, throwed out the grills, all of us had Jesus flags flying, Jesus hats, Jesus shirts, sat out in the parking lot, fellowship for 3 or 4 hours, just in anticipation of coming in here to worship. The enthusiasm. The world has to see something different in us. It's going to see excitement. The world's going to excite folks with something. We have to be the light of the world and make a difference in our world, or we will lose. This very well could be our last generation or two of Christians as we know it. Now, you can believe that or not, but just look around you. Look at what's happened in the last 20, 30 years. The changes in our world. We have to get the fire back in. It only takes a spark to start a forest fire. We have to ignite that spark. And today can be the day. We talked a whole lot about revitalization, renewal. We said, well, you know, let's put a program together. Let's get a program together and we'll fix this. We got the program. God's given us a program. Right here. He's given us something to go by. We say, well, let's, you know, maybe we need to hire somebody to come in and tell us how to have church. God's already told us how to have church. We just need to look at it. If somebody comes in here, they're just going to read what's in this book. And if they don't, you better not listen to it. If it's anything that's not in this book, don't listen. I'll make the challenge this morning. The difference between a football fan and a Christian is as a fan, you're a fan. Nothing wrong. Don't hear me wrong this morning. Nothing wrong with being a big football fan. I love sports and to watch things. I love being a part of something exciting. We all do. A new church start. If a new church starts, it don't matter if they're in a tent with sawdust floors and an old abandoned warehouse. What matters is worship, and it grows, and it's something there. There's excitement there that starts missing when you get weighted down with the stuff. We have to put Christ back in the center of our lives. When you accept Christ, you on the team. He puts you on the team. He gives you a position to play. Your gifts and talents he uses for his church, for his good, to build. Our job, what we do when we come in here on Sunday is, or when we come to church to study, especially our Sunday schools, our youth groups, we come in here to identify what our gifts and talents are, to hone them and to polish them, and to learn to work together, to pull them together, to be a church, to be something that this world says, what's going on there? I want to be a part of that. So Scott's giving you a challenge this morning to fill out that paper and bring it down here during the time of commitment. And I'll go a little step further and say, make the commitment. When you bring the paper, make the commitment. Spend some time at the altar here. Let's make the difference today. I've heard it said several times from this pulpit by several different people on several occasions when we talk about revitalization, renewal happens one heart at a time. Today can be the day, one heart at a time. Just one heart at a time. So when we have this time of commitment, let's do it one heart at a time, one church at a time. Wouldn't it be nice to look back on this day, a few months down the road or some period down the road, and our testimony was amended today by saying, you wouldn't believe what God did at College Street Baptist Church on January 26th, 2020. He moved in our church moved in our community moved in our state moved in our country. The spark has to start somewhere. It can be today. Thank you.
What I was going to say was this. As a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, I stand amazed at what he does in people's lives along the way. Scott, I knew your story. You've told that to me privately, and I think some of it to the church over the past 16-plus years. And I've often wondered about those two running backs from the other team. They have any idea what they did, the pain they caused you, the suffering you've been through. But then I'm reminded of what Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. It was in that allowing, permissive will that God made in you a man of integrity, a man who loves God and is willing to serve like you do. Now, you probably don't know this, but Alan and I kind of like each other. Our two families love one another. We are like brothers in Christ. We vacation together. We eat together every now and then. And I know his story. And I know her story. And in the same manner, I stand amazed in the presence of God at how God uses you both, as God uses both you and Patricia, because Patricia, you have a heart for God that I've grown even more in love with in the youth prayer breakfast, to hear your prayers and to feel your heart. But I see the same thing in Alan and Laura, as I've told Betsy many times, her teaching skills with children are amazing. I just want to jump up and down, and she just knows how to teach them. Alan, you probably don't know this. There's a creek down below his house, and he and Laura cleared out a spot down there. I hadn't been down there since we moved into our house, but he goes down there to pray. I know these two guys pray. A church without men like this will fall apart. I thank God that they're not the only ones. That I look across this congregation and I think of the men that have stood tall for Jesus Christ, who have witnessed their faith to others and have led people to at least have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Now, you've been given two challenges, I think, from God.
So as we stand in a moment and as we sing, I'm just going to step aside. This is God's call. This is His altar. You respond to Him. Let's pray. Father, as we reflect on the heart of these two men, many others could have given their testimony today, but You caused me to ask them, and then You worked in their hearts to lift up the name of Jesus. No matter what the circumstances have been, no matter what the past may have done to anyone, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of renewal. Today is the day that could be the change that needs to happen in all of us. So may Your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts now with more power than we've experienced in a long, long time, and touch us and change us that we might bow in Your presence and serve You only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's follow the footsteps of Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.
I want you to pray. Come to the altar and pray. Bring this.
May we pray. May Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May Your name be glorified and praised in this place and all throughout the earth. May our lives never be the same because Jesus Christ spoke to us today, touched our hearts, and led us out these doors to be salt and light, to be all that we're supposed to be in this age of dissension and heartache. Whatever path we've been on, wherever we're going, may we lean and trust on Your holy name. Bless us this day as we leave. In Jesus we pray. Amen.